Welcome to Your Next Mission podcast with the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army and co-founder of the American Freedom Foundation, Jack L. Tilley. Proudly presented by Cavalry Agency, Navy Federal Credit Union, Purdue University Global, and Veterans United Home Loans.
Hello out there, warriors past and present, and your families. Thank you for your service to our great country. Welcome to Season 3 of Your Next Mission Video Podcast, a program initiative of the American Freedom Foundation. I'm Jack L. Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, and your host. And now, before we get started, though, I personally want to thank our presenting sponsors, Cavalry Agency, Navy Federal Credit Union, Purdue University Global, and Veterans United Home Loans for making Your Next Mission happen. They love our veterans and families, and I'm always going to say it, we love them too. We have an incredible show for you today. With a focus on humanitarian efforts, Aero Recovery has conducted disaster response and missions to hurricanes, tornadoes, volcanoes, earthquakes, and other disasters in all corners of the world. They've also helped rescue orphans and refugees from the front lines in the war in Ukraine. In addition to all of that, they've started an initiative called Heal the Heroes that we'll talk about later. Right now, I'm excited to introduce Sergeant First Class Jeremy Locke, U.S. Army retired, co-founder and chief operating officer of Aero Recovery. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Sergeant Major. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, it's my pleasure to have you on the show. I love your beard. You look really good. I wish I had one. hey, the audience, I'm in a hurry to get started and hear all the great things that Aero is doing. But before we do that, could you tell the audience just a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, thank you so much, Sergeant Major. Yeah, so I'm from Oregon originally. I joined the U.S. Army in 2001. My first duty station was Fort Myer, Virginia, and I remember carrying the Army flag for you running through Arlington National Cemetery in 2002, I believe. But I spent 10 years of my service in the infantry, and then in 2012, I switched over and I switched over to the Special Forces, and I spent the last 9 years or so in 5th Special Forces Group out of Fort Campbell, and did about a little over 20 years before I retired, and now I'm doing what I'm doing now.
Hey, that's perfect. You know, this is really funny. You didn't say this to me yesterday, but you're from Portland, Oregon. I grew up in Vancouver, Washington.
Yeah, that's where my sister's right outside of Vancouver. My sister lives in Kamloops, actually.
Is that right? Yeah, my brother lives in Orchards. Hey, how did Aero Recovery get started?
Well, it came actually from kind of a marriage in a literal terms, to be honest with you, because it came from a nonprofit that my wife had before. She was an entrepreneur and just has a great heart. She wanted to be a missionary when she was a child and just has a servant's heart, which many of the warriors listening to this have as well. So that's very commonality we had. And he has some property in the British Virgin Islands that got slammed by Hurricane Irma in 2017. And she created Aerial Global Community at that time, which was the name of her nonprofit. And actually in 2019, I remember going up to her office in Nashville, Tennessee. I was still active duty at a fifth group. And she was up there planning on a whiteboard, and she hadn't accepted a date offering from me. We were dating at the time in like the last 5 days. And I was wondering what the heck she was up to. And I was like, hey, I'm coming to you. So I went up there and she was planning out what, you know, we would recognize as a mission. She was getting ready to do something. And she was, Hurricane Dorian was about to hit the Bahamas. And I took a look and I said, what are you doing? She's like, I'm about to go out to Bahamas and help after Hurricane Dorian. And I said, well, that sounds like something I'd like to do too. So I took leave. I went out to after Hurricane Dorian and helped serve out there. And after I saw kind of the way the other groups were there and kind of this disorganization. And I just really felt that the skills of veterans out there could create such a great impact in these types of situations. It's just an austere environment. People need the same basic services. We know how to set up the logistics. So at that point in 2019, after Hurricane Dorian, we created kind of a blend of what she'd been doing from her entrepreneur skills and what I brought from the veteran side. And that's where Aero Recovery was born.
Hey, wow. From what I understand, though, Aero Recovery's mission is to save lives, you know, eliminate confusion, maximize support, and accelerate recovery. Let's talk about that and the different ways that you guys all do that.
Yeah, definitely. So really what we try to do first and foremost is we just want to be a blessing to wherever we're going and whatever the situation is. So as you mentioned earlier, we respond to all sorts of disasters from hurricanes, and we've been to, I think, 6 or 7 of those now, both domestically and internationally in the Caribbean. We went to Haiti after the earthquake there a couple of years ago, volcanic eruption in St. Vincent. And the basic need for everybody is, you know, once one of those situations happen, there are lives that are very much in danger, and they're very much in danger right away. So where aerial recovery really specializes in is getting to places quick, fast, and in a hurry and with a plan. And we serve kind of as that stopgap before these big groups like Operation Blessing and Food for the Poor, which are some great natural disaster relief organizations, that takes them a while to mobilize. So we're out there quicker. We use our skills with, you know, TCCC training, the CLS, all the stuff we learned in the military. All those skills are applicable in these situations. So that's what we do, is we go out there, we help people that are in the situation, because a lot of the first responders, the fire, the police, the military that are inside of these nations like Honduras and all these other places we've been, you have to remember they were also affected by whatever just happened. So we come there, they're still worried about their kids. They're worried about their family. Their homes are destroyed. They have a whole life that was just completely wrecked. So to be able to come out, come into the fight fresh, be in there and be able to be a blessing to not just the people that were affected, but also the first responders that were there affected as well. And we just help get them up on their feet, empower them with some of the knowledge that we bring. We bring supplies to them, and we help with their coordinations. A lot of times, you know, we work out of the EOC, the Emergency Operations Control Center, and we help doing, for lack of better terms, battle tracking to make sure that the services are getting in the right places.
Yeah, all the time you was talking, I'm thinking logistically, that's sort of got to be a nightmare. I mean, do you have pre-positioned equipment? And the other side is, I mean, that takes a lot of people. How big is your staff and people that help you do all that stuff? And the other problem, I guess, you don't have a plane, so you gotta get a plane to fly wherever you're going. So how do you work out the logistical stuff?
Yeah, so it's all about networks. I discovered very quickly, you know, I was a pay agent in my time in SF, and you know, we had something going on, and I need to go to the dispersing office, and I need to sign out $50,000 in cash, and then I need to go get the mission accomplished. There's no dispersing office and signing out $50,000 in cash when you're in the nonprofit world. So very quickly, I was like, man, we've really got to leverage networks. And fortunately enough, there are so many veterans active in so many, whether they're, you know, different organizations, different companies. If you really plug into those networks, they still have that heart to serve, and that hasn't left them. So we start using that, and we just basically cache people and supplies. We have people pledge things to us. A couple of members on our staff are former pilots. One's out of the 160th. So we have a helicopter pilot on staff. So it's just a matter of finding good-hearted people that want to help in the time of need for other people. And it's surprisingly easy, contrary to what you might see on the news and social media. There are so many good people in this world, and we want to help out these great causes. So it is easy for us to find people that are in a position to help. And then it's up to us to organize and maximize all of that support.
We pre-post stuff in the Army all over the world. Do you have pre-positioned equipment and stuff that you have for your organization? I mean, there's got to be, like, I would think, again, talking maybe 10 or 15 pallets of stuff that you can quickly go out and get and move out.
Yeah. So what we do, we're out of Nashville, Tennessee. I retired out of, Fort Campbell, Kentucky. So that's where the nonprofit's out of. So we have a warehouse facility out there that we stock with donated supplies from people that gave to us, or we go and stock up with Operation Blessing, and we'll get some supplies from them and keep it in our warehouse. We also have mapped out, just like we would with, you know, using ATAC or anything, like important places along routes to us. And these are our warehouses and depots for our partner organizations, such as Operation Blessing. So an example of that is during Hurricane Ian, which just hit Florida here in the last few months. We went, and on our way down, we went to Ocala, Florida, with an empty trailer, and we picked up a bunch of supplies from Operation Blessing. And while they're still getting ready, they don't necessarily have the skill set to get in. And I mean, we were there right after the storm rolled through. So we rescued, I think, 9 people the first night that were trapped inside of their homes. So not only can we use our military skills to get into places quickly, we then grab that aid from those organizations that usually have to wait a little bit longer because they don't necessarily have that first responder skill set. So to answer your question, we have caches in different places. We also have a command center in the British Virgin Islands that handles all of our Caribbean responses. And we have supplies and everything over there as well.
Is there one particular area you go to more than anything else? I mean, there's a lot of storms and stuff, you know, south of, I guess you go down to the southern tip there a little bit more than anything else, don't you?
Yeah, I would say our main operating area is anything that hits the Caribbean when it comes to hurricanes and events out there. And then we also operate Central America. We've done some other missions in Africa. But for the most part, it's the southern part of the United States, southeastern United States, central United States, out into the Caribbean. That's mainly where our natural disaster responses are. But I mean, not too long ago, I was just in Pakistan. So it's not exclusive to that. Honestly, our process is when something happens, myself, my wife and our team, we literally pray on it, and we see what resources we have. Do we have the money able to respond to that? Do we have the personnel that are ready to deploy? So it's all about capacity. I mean, we can scale, and as we get some more support, we plan on scaling. But right now, it's mainly Eastern, Southern United States and Caribbean nations.
How do you get your money? I mean, how do you get your money? Do people donate money to you, or you're out there working, hustling, and getting money, or sponsors, or whatever?
Yeah, some Nigeria, exactly. So. We had just had our first gala actually in November during right before Veterans Day, and we just invited a bunch of people that support us and people that want to learn about us, and we were able to do a pretty good raise there. We also, when an event happens, we use social media. You can follow us on Aero Recovery Group on Instagram, and we'll show us getting ready for an event. We really believe in media, and that's where kind of my wife comes in a lot, because she actually has a video production company that she uses and some of the other endeavors she does. So we like to report on what's going on and what the need is immediately, because we're there first. So it not only helps us gain support for what we're doing, but it also helps raise awareness for others that are there that what exactly they need. You'd be really surprised about the type of stuff that show up to after natural disasters that just end up getting in the way. And a lot of places, you know, they send a ton of water. At some point, water there's too much water, and it's taking up spaces when maybe we need blankets or maybe we need generators, you know. So I would say social media, direct donations are great. We're getting into some corporate sponsors, which has been fantastic. It's a matter of growing, and it's a new realm to me. But you know, I do speaking engagements. I go around, and I really just want to spread the word on what we're doing and what organizations that are in our space are doing as well.
Yeah, usually there's a lot of corruption when it comes to going, especially when there's a disaster area. You got to be really careful about, and I know you can't, even though you're a special operator, you can't carry weapons, or you're not supposed to anyway, carry weapons in some of the place. But do you have problems with corruption and stuff when you go to some of those countries?
Yes, definitely. So every place needs to be vetted out. So we do our best to be the direct distributor of any aid that we get. We will physically hand it out. We work under the permission and the guidance of governments, but we're not that really huge of an organization where we have super long standing contracts with people and everything like that. We're more of a stopgap. So as far as a vetting process goes, we use organizations that are already there that we trust. We also talk to church networks are really good, because they're tied in with the people in the communities. And that's kind of how we go about and get in and get to the right leaders. There corruption is everywhere. It's unfortunate, but we do our best to mitigate it.
Yeah. We're talking with Sergeant First Class Retired Jeremy Locke, co-founder and chief operating officer of Aerial Recovery. And you're watching Your Next Mission video podcast with me, your host, Jack L. Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major of the Army. And don't forget, if you're enjoying this discussion, please like us. Click on that subscribe button below. Jeremy, since the beginning of our podcast, almost 2 years ago, we've focused on mental challenges, especially being a veteran. You understand that. And the families that face transition out of the military. I find what you're doing with the Heal the Heroes initiative to be really amazing. Can you talk about that?
I would love to. And this one is especially near and dear to my heart because I was one of those wounded warriors, and I still speak as I am one of those wounded warriors. And while my damage wasn't so much physically, it was mentally and emotionally. I spent, I think I did 5 combat tours. I spent a good portion of my career overseas and in combat zones. It is difficult. And then having the community and the team, and, you know, it was the platoon for me at first, and then it was the ODA that I was on, and having this group of just kind of a built-in support network is so wonderful when you're in the military. And you just always have someone that you can talk to something about, and you know that they can understand what you're saying. But when you start transitioning out of the military, that starts to disappear. And it's so interesting to me, and myself included, of how scary the civilian world can be to somebody who is a warrior and is, you know, the strongest, the barrel-chested freedom fighter. But the idea of getting out and not having that team with you and doing things on your own and not understanding just the way the civilian world, it actually is kind of overwhelming. And there are so many great programs during your transition out, but honestly, even myself, I didn't know how to use them.
Yeah.
And so you find yourself a little bit lost. And I just, to full disclosure, I mean, coming out, I'm diagnosed 100% disabled veteran with post-traumatic stress. I did the counseling route. I did medications. I did the whole gambit. I spent a good part of my life, over 12 years of it, as what I would classify as a functioning alcoholic. I used to self-medicate to deal with some of my issues. And so I really understood when I started serving that you can heal yourself through the service of others. And I was blessed enough to have Aerial Recovery to lean into when I came out of the military. It provided me the opportunity to continue and go around and do what I view as great things in the world. And it also made me feel better. And I just was, you know, talking to my wife and I was like, we need to provide opportunities for veterans that were in the same place that I am. How can we get them to heal through servitude as well? And that's kind of why we created the Heal the Heroes program. It's more of a, as a community and as a mentorship group, like a big army and military group. Yeah. For vets to join when they get out. And then we provide opportunities to come out with Aerial Recovery and our partner organizations and go and serve. And it's been very effective thus far. It's relatively new, but we have really good traction, great results. I actually have a call with Platoon 2 after this podcast today, and I'm so excited to talk to them. We've had wonderful speakers that are attracted to coming on, and they speak to the vets and Charlie Engel and the Iron Cowboy, like all these guys that have done some amazing physical feats, and they just love to speak to our veterans. So it's been a great and wonderful blessing.
Yeah. You know, I own a small company, and in the company I have 10 people, and they're all retired sergeant majors, go figure. They're all retired sergeant majors. We have one first sergeant, and then we have a Korean lady, which is the accountant. She's the most important. But you're really right. When you get out of the service, I'm not sure you ever fit in again. Because you start talking to people about issues that you have, and they'll be real polite, but they'll change the subject. And some of I've suffered from post-traumatic stress for a lot of years. I was overran when I was 18, 18 in Vietnam, and 20 wounded and 7 killed. So there's still stuff that I talk about that I tear up a little bit. But I think because I stayed in the Army so doggone long, 36 years, that I was able to work through a lot of those issues. But still, when I get out, it's still the thing about You know, how do you fit in? How do you do stuff? And it's just, being in the Army, you were blessed. The other thing I'll tell you is that, you know, less than 1% serve in the military. And it's really a shame. Not a lot of people know too much about the military. That's why we have this show. It is two reasons: to help our veterans, of course, and it's also to educate this country about the kind of sacrifices that our, you know, our veterans and families make, and guys like you and your family make too. So, boy, this is a great discussion. I don't want to change it. I want to keep talking here, but Jeremy, hang on there. We're going to take a quick break, okay? We got a lot more to talk about, and I'm sure you're enjoying this right now. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. You're watching Your Next Mission video podcast.
You're watching Your Next Mission, proudly presented by the Cavalry Agency. They help brands dominate no matter their size. Ideas, strategy, action. This is Cavalry. Learn more at cavalry.com. Navy Federal Credit Union, the most trusted credit union owned by members of the military community, serving all branches of the armed forces and their families. Their members are the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. Purdue Global, providing affordable online education for hardworking adults. Learn more about a personalized, innovative, and world-class education at PurdueGlobal.edu. Veterans United Home Loans, the number one VA lender for 5 straight years. If you're buying, they're funding your dreams. Learn more at veteransunited.com. Now back to your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, Jack L. Tilley.
Welcome back. We're blessed to be here today with Sergeant First Class retired Jeremy Locke, co-founder and Chief Operating Officer of Aero Recovery. And I want all of our viewers to reach out to me directly. Tell us about your transition. Tell us what topics you'd like to cover on the show. I always tell everybody it's not my show, it's our show. So tell me what you want me to talk about. You can call or text me at 844-424-1134, and I'll reach out to you. I'll actually call you up or send an email at smatilly@yournextmission.org. Jeremy, we're heading into the final segment with you today, and I hope you've enjoyed it just as much as I have. But Aero Recovery is having really become a global community and a like-minded people committed to changing the world by helping others who are struggling. That's a tall task. Can you elaborate a little bit on that? Before you even answer that question, I got another question for you real quick. Tell me about what you're doing in Ukraine, about the refugees and orphans, I guess, over there. What are you doing over there?
Yeah, so Ukraine, I know that struck a chord with me, and I know it struck a chord with a lot of our warriors. And, you know, it actually started because something we don't talk about as much, but something we're very active in is Aero Recovery actually does anti-human trafficking missions as well. And one of our board members was in the process of adoption of a Ukrainian orphan. And when you really start to dig on the orphan situation in Ukraine, there's over 200,000 orphans in Ukraine, and many of them find homes in the United States. So there's kind of a, I want to say that it's the number one country that the United States outside of the United States adopts from. So it's very much a kind of an interesting dynamic there. And when the invasion happened, we actually went and staged in Poland ahead of time. Our first objective was to get out there and was to help protect to protect this one particular orphan and then the group that he was with. And so we went out to Poland. You know, there, you don't surround 2/3 of a country if you're not planning on doing something.
Yeah, about it. Yeah.
And so regardless of what Putin and Russia was saying, we you know, the writing was on the wall. So we, just as we would have done when we were in the military, we prepped and we got staged as well. And yeah, once that the invasion kicked off in late February, we were boots on the ground, literally with rucksacks, walking across the border, February 28th of 2022. And from there, we went and made connections just like we would do in the Special Forces. We went and talked to local police, and we got connected all the way up to the head of Child Protective Services in the Lviv Oblast, which is the western state of Ukraine. And we got permission to go and conduct orphan evacuations. And we focused on the orphanages that were closest to the front lines of fighting. I was in the Mykolaiv region up near Kyiv during the initial portions before Ukraine was able to expel them from near their capital. And we started escorting orphans from those dangerous areas in the eastern part of Ukraine, and we brought them to western Ukraine. We were being very sensitive about trafficking. We didn't take any citizens outside of the country. We worked directly with the government to put them in designated safe locations in western Ukraine. And we were very successful at it. What started off with a mission to help one orphan in Ukraine ended up with successfully evacuating over 900 orphans. And after we started seeing some of the terrible things that were happening to the civilian population, we started evacuating internally displaced persons. And we, to date, have evacuated over, 6,000 people from the front lines in Ukraine, which is pretty incredible.
It is incredible. Do you help evacuate adults, too? I guess you do the same thing, probably with them, too. You know, I asked you a minute ago about, you know, you're a global community and a lot of like-minded people. Is there any other areas that you're doing anything like that with refugees around the world, around the country, I guess?
Yes. So, Sergeant Major, we actually assisted with the troop withdrawal in Afghanistan. We were able to get over 250 Afghani refugees into Tajikistan, and we set them up for about 6 months over there. Anywhere someone's in danger and lives are in danger, that's where we want to be. And honestly, our only limitation is funding and personnel. And so I plan to grow this as large as I can, providing opportunities for those that go through Heal the Heroes program. Every single one of my operators in Aero Recovery is a graduate and is currently in the Heal the Heroes program. So we want that to kind of be, for lack of a better term, the self-licking lollipop, where we go and we help these veterans, we attach them to a community, and then we provide opportunities within our organization and then within organizations that we work with as well, so they choose, if they so choose that route.
Yeah.
So we're all over the place. We plan on going to Africa. I've got a trip coming up to India to do an anti-trafficking trip out there, and just excited to be able to be blessed enough with support enough to go and do these missions.
You don't do anything in Mexico or anything like that, do you?
Yep, we do stuff in Mexico as well. Central America, Honduras, we're really big there. Mexico, we are expanding out. Natural disasters 100%, and then of course, as I spoke before, especially when you're dealing with the sensitivity of trafficking, you definitely have to be working with and have the permission of local governments and federal governments, and that's what we're in the process of with Mexico right now too, to be able to do operations out there.
Let me ask you a couple of different questions here. What's the biggest accomplishment you think you've made as far as an organization since you've been starting? And what's the one thing that you wish you would accomplish, but you couldn't get it done? And start with that. Start with the worst one first. What's the one thing you just couldn't get done and you wish you would have? I'm sure you work hard, but something you really wish you could have gotten done, but you just couldn't do it.
So Ukraine kind of holds a special place in my heart. I spent almost 8 weeks out there initially, from March into May, and then I've been back there a few times, and just seeing the amount of desperation there is there, and with our funding kind of dwindling towards the winter, I really was hoping that we would have more of a presence there over this last winter season, because I know those people are struggling out there. So that was kind of losing the steam in Ukraine. We're still working out there. It's just, we just don't have the support as we did before. So that's kind of, that's something that I won't regret. I just wish that we were able to be more effective, because there's so much need there. And I think on top of that as well, it's all connected. Like one of our guys on our team, he was an orphan. He actually is a CW4 retired out of the 160th. And, he was an orphan his entire upbringing. He used to live in Michael Jordan homes and sleep on the couch of his wrestling coach during wrestling season and all these different things. So he knew what that was like. And through our Heal the Heroes program, he was able to come out and help orphans in Ukraine. And it was like just such a beautiful full circle thing. Like a prior military person with that same upgrading, understanding the difficulties what an orphan faces, and being able to go use his skills that he learned in his, you know, 20 plus years in the military, and then go apply that to a real world mission humanitarian side out in Ukraine is pretty amazing. So I think that I'm really excited about our Heal the Heroes program. And that's another thing I really want to see improve and bolster, because that is literally like our recruiting program. And that's where we get our operators to do our missions. And in getting those operators, it's where those operators get the healing that they need in their lives as well, and the community that helps them heal. So it's just really proud of that. To answer your second question, I would say the Heal the Heroes program, just very, very proud of it.
Yeah. How many guys that are special ops that you serve with in the military working with you now? I'm sure you got that.
I pull a few out of fifth group, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I would say we've got, let's see here, we've got four Green Berets. We have the 160th guy, and then I have an Air Force pararescueman, and then two SEALs that are on contract with us too.
Wow.
So I pull as much as I can, but you know, that's the community we grab from, but it's not just limited to that too. We have all sorts of people that are very, very helpful. A woman who was in the Coast Guard, she actually is American Ukrainian.
Yeah.
And we helped her out there in Ukraine, and now she's interning with us, and such a blessing and amazing. So we have all sorts of gambits that are with us, and very proud to attract them. Yeah. The quality of people we're able to attract makes me know that we as an organization are on the right track. And so I'm just really happy to say that we have some of the best personnel I've ever worked with.
Well, yeah, if people trust you and they believe in you, they're going to follow you. You know, so the guys that are coming mm-hmm. around, they want to help the program, but they trust you and they know that you, you know, you're doing what's right for, certainly for our country and for your organization. How can somebody be a part of that? You know, how can they help you? Is there a website or something they can go to? Or?
Yes, Sergeant Major. So there's, you can go to aerialrecovery.org, and there's a couple different things you can do when you navigate on there. You can actually sign up for our volunteer corps. So you can come and do trainings with us. And we have three different tiers of training: basic, intermediate, and advanced trainings. We also conduct anti-human trafficking operator trainings.
Oh, wow.
Where we literally teach you to go work as confidential informants and go internationally. And we sit down under undercover missions and talk to traffickers and get them arrested. It's pretty, that one's not for everyone, but we do provide these trainings to people. So go on there, sign up for the volunteer corps. We just ask that you do our online training first. That just kind of puts you into our system and gets you more familiar with AO recovery as a group. And then you can, of course, there's a way to donate on there. If you are, our main three initiatives that we work with AO recovery is our Heal the Heroes program. We do natural and man-made disaster relief, and we do anti-human trafficking. So if there's one of those rings more heavily inside of your heart, you can donate directly to one of those initiatives if you so wish, or you can come to our trainings and become an operator and go directly out there and go help physically on those initiatives as well.
Yeah. Is that why you still have your beard, so you can blend in with our
yeah,
probably so.
Like, I can still sneak in. It's a recruiting tool.
Hey, do you do anything on the southern border, our southern border at all? Do you do anything down there?
We do with partners of ours, Sergeant Major. Actually, another guy, a former teammate of mine, he works down there on the border a lot. So that's another one of those ones that we want to assist as much as possible. And when it comes to doing things domestically, we more so support like border patrol agencies, law enforcement, because the jurisdictions are completely different inside the U.S. You know? So, but we... that is also, in when you really start diving in and digging into trafficking, a porous border is terrible. It is terrible for people, because they get through, and it just makes it easy for these this product, in this case, which are people, to get across into where the demand is. And unfortunately, the demand for these kids and for these women, and it comes from the United States, and it comes from Western countries, and it's despicable, deplorable, and it fires me up to go outside and stop Americans going around and harming people in other countries.
It's
unbelievable to me that happens.
That's terrible. Well, look here, the tell me, did you have a phone number? Give me your website and phone number one more time, will you please?
Yeah, so the website is aerialrecovery.org. The phone number is 615-455-0961. And you can send an email as well to info@aerialrecovery.org. And that's Ariel spelled Alpha Echo Romeo India Alpha Lima.
All right.
Making sure I still
got it. All right, you're still squared away.
As a former SF combo guy, I should hope, hopefully I still got it.
Hey, look here. First of all, let me thank you for what you're doing. You're doing a heck of a good job. Any final thoughts? Anything you want to tell the audience?
I want to first of all say thank you, Sergeant Major, for having me on here. And I love seeing what you're doing. You and Ted are doing here, and it's an honor to be here. And I don't think it's a coincidence. I mean, I met you at the very beginning of my career, and now I recently retired. I retired only about a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
So now I'm seeing you again at the end of my career, as far as military wise. But no, it's great. And I think final thoughts are, especially if you're a warrior and you really are struggling inside, there is nothing more brave, in my opinion, than being able to be vulnerable. We spend our entire military careers in the way that we fight the enemy and protecting our flanks and not letting them know how many bullets or where our supplies are at, because we don't want them to know our vulnerabilities.
Yeah.
But really, find someone to talk to, find a program. If it's Heal the Heroes, you can go to aerialrecovery.org, go to our Heal the Heroes initiative. You can nominate someone. You can nominate yourself to go through the program. It doesn't cost anything. It's my job to raise the funds for it. It's your job to get the help you need and find help for people that need it. So please bring them to me. Let me help them. And just that would be my final word. If you are a struggling veteran out there, please seek the help that you need, because this world is great and the world freaking needs you. So please find the help that you need.
All right. Well, let me help you out a little bit. Let me give you $5,000.
All right. Well, thank you, Sergeant Major. All right. I was hoping I nailed that speech. I guess I got it.
Well, you did really good. I loved it. So we'll give you $5,000 to help you out a little bit.
Amen.
Wish it was more, but what you're doing is incredible stuff, and you're making a difference. And God bless you for certainly what you're doing and all your stuff. Certainly your wife and everything. But keep it up. We'll give you a little bit of money. Again, we wish it was more, but we're here to help you in any way we can.
Thank you. Thank you so much, and thank you so much for having me on the show.
Hey, not a problem. Thanks to Sergeant First Class retired Jeremy Long, co-founder of Chief Operating Officer of the Aerial Recovery, for being with us today and also getting $5,000. I'm Jack L. Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, and you've been watching Your Next Mission video podcast. And thank you for watching today. Please visit our website at yournextmission.org and leave me a review. I always say I hope it's a good review, but if it's a terrible one, I guess I can take that too. We also visit our corporate partners there who can provide you with so many services that will assist you in your transition from the military. And also, please visit our corporate partners and see all the jobs that are available. Please know we want to assist you any way we can. I'm going to say that every week. I'm going to say it at least twice. Please know we want to assist you any way we can. Please follow me on all my personal social media channels, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and LinkedIn. And if you enjoyed this discussion with Jeremy, and if you didn't, there's something wrong with you, please like us. Click on that subscribe button below. Don't forget, we want to hear from you. Please leave me a message or send me a text at 844-424-1134 or send me an email at smatilly@yournextmission.org. Thanks again to Jeremy Locke for joining us. What a great soldier, what a great person that's doing God's work. It was just great having him on the show. And at the end of each show, I always have my final thoughts. But I think my final thoughts today is give. Help people. Don't sit on your duff and do nothing. There's a lot of people out there that are struggling. And there's a lot of people in the military that get out of the military that really don't know what to do. Go out and help somebody. give something back. We live in the greatest country in the world. And sometimes we just sit back and don't do anything. Do something. Make a difference. Change lives. Do what Jeremy's doing. He's changing lives each and every day for the better. Not just for him, but for us. God bless each and every one of you. We live in the greatest country in the world. Again, thanks for watching, and thanks to Cloudcast Media, New Mind Studios, and of course, our four presenting sponsors, Calvary Agency, Navy Federal Credit Union, Purdue University Global, and Veterans United Home Loans. We just really appreciate all you do for our military. And as always, see you on the high ground. Hooah!
You've been listening to Your Next Mission, brought to you by the American Freedom Foundation. Learn more by visiting yournextmission.org.